We want to be a place of healing where people can come and heal. I know there's a lot of church people who have been hurt and damaged. And I don't want to be one of the... And I'm not saying that we've never hurt and damaged people, but I don't want to be a church that just hurts people and damages people. We've had a situation in this town in the last week where that situation has taken place and there'll be a lot of fallout because of it. I don't want this to ever be that kind of place. I want us to be people who accept people where they are spiritually, all the way from a skeptic to just a believer, someone that's been hurt, damaged. And I want this to be an atmosphere where you can come, experience God's love and acceptance, and grow at your pace and heal. Because all of us need healing in our lives, in some area of our lives. And this is one thing that's so great about this church. You dudes used to be messed up bad. We got a lot of folks that used to be messed up. I mean, you've been through the mill. You've been through divorces. You've been on drugs, alcohol. And, you know, I'm not going to name all your sins. But, I mean, this is a diverse church. This is real diverse. And not everybody's perfect like I am. And no, I've been messed up too. And I'm still messed up in some areas of my life. But I want to be an atmosphere where I can be real and transparent and authentic and even talk about my shortcomings without you judging me, and you be able to open up and talk about your stuff without somebody else judging you. That this can be a real healing place. And that's what we want to be. We're going to minister the Word of God. We're going to do it with power. We're going to do it with authority. We're not going to do it in a condemning way. Although I must say today's message is a tail kicker. Okay? It will. Can I say that in church? It'll kick your tail. Okay? It's kicking mine. Go with me today to Mark the 12th chapter. We love kids, don't we? Praise God for children. Sometimes my grandsons will both throw themselves on the floor and just pitch a big old fit. But you still love them. Mark 12:29. We've been talking about 3D, living life in 3D. 3D Christianity. The scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus. They tried to trick him. They could never trick Jesus. Jesus was way too sharp. And they said, "Tell us the great commandment." And Jesus answered him and said, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like this, 'You shall love your neighbors yourself.' There is no other commandments greater than these." And this is where we got the ideal of 3D Christianity. Learning to love God with all of our spirit, our soul, and our body. This is what God wants us to be about. This is the great challenge. This is the great commandment. And that word is not just being fond of God like Peter was. This is agape love. This is being able to love God back with the love that He has put in our heart. And you cannot do this as an unbeliever. It's an impossibility for this to happen. Only believers can operate in this kind of love. So we know that the first thing that has to happen in our life, that we have to cross the line of faith for this to happen. This is supernatural love. But you know, you can have supernatural love in your heart and not act on it. You can have lots of things in your life and not act on it. You can have $1 million in your bank account and not act on it and starve to death. And you've got $1 million deposit in your spirit. It's called the love of God. And so many Christians do not walk in the love of God. And this is why we have damaged people. This is why churches damage people. Because we don't walk and live in the love of God. We talked about our potential flowing out of our character, not our knowledge. There are issues in our life that are character issues. And one of the greatest character issues is the love of God. You can only grow to the point of your weakest character trait. And you won't grow beyond that point until you begin to deal with that in your life. And this is why we want to talk about God's love. Today we're going to talk about loving other people. Now last week we talked about loving ourselves. And we found out that it's scriptural to love ourselves with agape. I know a lot of folks that love themselves, but they don't love themselves out of agape. They love themselves out of their own ego. They're real fond of themselves. There's guys who think they're God's gift to women. I mean, you know, that's not agape. Okay? There are people that are very flattering. That's not agape. When we hurt people in the name of love, that's not agape. And there's a lot of people who love themselves, but it's a very egotistical, self-centered, self-serving love. The first thing that happens is when you cross the line of faith is that you get off the throne of your life and you give it to God. And that's a big decision. That's a huge decision that we all have to come to in order to cross into faith. When you do that, then the journey begins. We've had lots of people in the last few weeks. We've had at least 12 first-time people who have crossed the line into faith. And now it will be up to them to go on with their Christian life. A lot of Christians stop right there and they never grow. They never glorify God. They never get this kind of lifestyle that we're talking about into the love of God. Go with me to John, the 13th chapter, the 34th verse. I'm going to give you 2 points and then we're going to look at lots of Scripture. Are you ready for a kicking today? I'm not going to kick your tail, but these Scriptures will. If you honestly desire to live the love life, the agape love life, this stuff is very challenging to us if we're really serious about it. See, I don't want to be a Christian in name only. I want to be one in deed. I want to walk it out. I don't want to be nominal in my faith. I want to be relevant in my faith. I want to be everywhere I go, in everything that I do, I want it to represent Jesus Christ. It doesn't always do that because sometimes I get in the way. Can I just be real? I get in the way sometimes. I need to learn not to get in the way. So this, what we're talking about is a very disciplined, conscious lifestyle of learning to live and walk in the love of God. It's huge. It is absolutely huge. We cannot fathom the greatness of God's love in us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, and that word is agape, as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He gave His life for us. That's how He loved us. That's how He demonstrated His love. You know what? If God just said, I love you people, and didn't do anything about it, we would have never benefited one bit. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's what it takes. It's not just enough to say, I love you. We have to show it. We have to be willing to love as Christ loved by giving our lives. Now that doesn't mean dying necessarily. We don't need people who will die for Jesus. We need people who will live for Jesus. You don't do God any good dead. Now, I know some people die for their faith, and I'm not cheapening that. I admire people who are able to do that. But that's not what God is after. If it's necessary, we die for our faith. But even more important, we live for our faith. We live it. We walk it out. So He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, we'll all know that you are My disciples, if you have love one for another. And that's just talking about the way that we love each other as believers in Jesus Christ. Not how we love the world, but how we love one another. You know, it's a sad thing when we look at the body of Christ and it's so segmented and fractured by division and criticism. You know, even within congregations, these things happen sometimes. That's not the love of God. That is not the love of God. When a congregation divides and fusses and fights, that's not the love of God. That is not demonstrating love towards one another. And sometimes it is very, very difficult to walk and live in this kind of love. Okay, let me give you 2 points. I want to show you what loving one another looks like. Number one, last week, remember we talked about how do you love yourself? And we said the first point is, I need to see myself as a new person. Okay? I need to see myself as a new person. Here is how we love one another. We see others, and we're talking about other believers, as a new person. We see them as a new person. We see them in Christ. We see them complete in Christ. We don't look at their shortcomings. We don't look at their failures. See, it's very easy for us to pick each other apart. I mean, how many of you in here today say that you have got shortcomings? Anybody? Yeah, I think we would all qualify for that. If you didn't raise your hand, you're telling one. It's called, you got a pride issue, and that is a shortcoming, isn't it? We'll give an altar call in just a minute. But we're not supposed to look at each other's shortcomings. We're to see us complete in Christ. In fact, that's the way that God sees us. A lot of times we see ourselves the way that we are. I know my tendencies. I know my weaknesses. I know where I fall short. And a lot of times I see myself that way and I trap myself in that mindset. Because the way that you see yourself is the way that you'll talk about yourself. And see, faith has to do with the heart and the mouth. And if I start seeing myself as Christ sees me, or as God sees me, He sees me as a new creature, He sees me complete, then I'll start speaking about myself in that manner, and I won't be trapped. I'll be set free. And that's the way we need to see other people too. We need to see them as complete in Christ Jesus. We don't need to see a brand new baby Christian. Yeah, you'll see their faults. But we need to be able to look beyond the fault and see the completeness. Because that person, whether they're saved or not, are full of purpose and potential. They have gifts. They're things that are laying dormant on the inside of them. We need to look beyond that and see them as a mature believer in Christ Jesus. You'll treat them different. You'll have a different attitude toward them. You'll be capable of living and walking in the love of God where other people are concerned. Then number two, it's the same thing that we talked about yourself. You need to see others as God sees them. How does God see other people? Does God see us as just low-down, rotten sinners? No! If He did, He would have to judge us. Listen, Jesus paid the price for our sins. Okay? Jesus paid the price for our sins. And even though that we have been forgiven, we're not perfect. If the only thing that God looked on us as imperfect, and He didn't see us through the blood of Jesus, then He would have to judge us. We need to see other people as God sees them, and that's through the blood of Jesus. That means that we can tolerate somebody coming up short. We're not always condemning and judging other people. And Christians are good at judging. Now, is there right and wrong? Yes. Can you mess up? Yes. Can you screw your life up? Yes. Do you need to turn around? Yes. But that doesn't need to be our attitude towards other people. We need to give some space. And this is what we talk about in this church, is allowing people to grow at their pace. And I know saying that, that there's probably people sitting here today that will never grow because you never choose to do certain things. You know what? We still have to see you as complete in Christ Jesus. We still have to love you. We cannot ever come to the point that we walk out of the love of God. We have to challenge. We have to encourage. We have to lift up. We have to try to get people to move from just being a believer to a disciple to a servant. This is what we want to do. We want to see you grow in Christ Jesus. But you know, that's up to you. That's between you and God. My job is to tell you the story. It's your job to choose it. It's my job to love you. Amen? So that's where we got to be with all of that. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. Are you ready for some tough stuff here? And this first one's really tough. Romans 12:9. These are all agape scriptures. Write these down. I want to challenge you. Take these scriptures home. Meditate on them. Ask God, am I doing this? Or am I not doing this? Show me how to be like I need to be where love is concerned. Romans 12:9. Let agape be without hypocrisy. You know what a hypocrite is? In the Greek culture, an actor was called a hypocrite. Have you ever gone to the movies and seen the two faces on the wall? You know, it's usually a smiley face and a sad face. What those are the mask of the hypocrite. And sometimes actors would play two different roles. And as they would play one role, they would wear this mask, and then they would switch to this mask and play a different role. That is called the hypocrite. Well, this tells us that we need to love without hypocrisy. It doesn't need to be a mask. It needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. And I'll be honest with you. There are people that it's hard to love. They make it difficult to love. I had somebody hack me off this morning. I wanted to call the fire down on their ornery heads. I was nice and friendly and said something to them. They said, get out of my face. Ooh, smack you. Made me mad. I was really walking in the love of God. Who had a problem? Me. I was letting someone else control my life at that point. I was not walking in the love of God. I can't help the way that they are or what they do. But I can help what I am. And it's a challenge. So I had to back up and say, sorry, Lord, forgive me. You said, well, you didn't do anything wrong. Yes, I did. I didn't walk in the love of God. I let it get to me. Now, this would kick your tail. You know what we do? We justify our stinky attitudes. We want to justify why we're mad, why we're moody, why we're this, why we're that. Let me tell you, that's not the love of God. I can't help how Jeremy acts, but I can help how I react. Because I don't have the power to choose for Jeremy, but I have the power to choose for me. And as for me, I need to choose the love of God. I don't need to be hypocritical about it. I need to be real about it. So I've got to have a real work of God in my heart where these things are concerned. I learned a little bit of lesson today about me. Not about the other person, but about me. So this says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Listen, I not only have to walk in agape, I've got to walk in brotherly love too. You know, it's easy to say, I love you in Jesus. Sometimes that's a cop out. I love you with the love of the Lord, but I don't like you. Okay, this says two kinds of love. This is hard. Two kinds of love. Agape and phileo. Affection. Brotherly love. Those are hard. Especially when you want to smack somebody. Okay. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor. Say honor. Giving preference to one another. We're supposed to prefer one another. That means hang out. I like hanging out, don't you? I like hanging out with believers. And that's the way we need to be. We ought to like getting together. You going to church? Well, I guess. You got a love problem. You got a love problem. And it's a love of God problem. Can I say this? I'm going to say it. I ask your permission, but I'm going to say it anyway. If I have trouble with Paige, I have a problem with God. Because here's the progression. You cannot love people until you love God. The love of God has got to be the primary. Everything flows out of the love of God. And I'm talking about your relationship with God. Everything flows out of this relationship. Loving God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay? If that's not right, this is not going to be right. If this is not right, it's because there's something amiss right here. And I need to go back and I need to look at this right here. I didn't say you was going to hell. I'm saying there's an issue there that you've not dealt with. Do you know Christians always got to be dealing with their self? Okay. So when we get this right, we can get this right. Okay. Okay, go with me to Romans 13:8. We've got, ooh, man. They sang too long this morning, didn't they? No, not really. I'm kidding. Romans 13:8. We had some awesome praise and worship in both services today. We rocked it. And I love that. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Don't be indebted to one another. The only debt that you should owe is a debt of love. Okay? I'm not going to expound on that a whole lot, but you can meditate on that. For the commandment, you shall not, look at this, you shall not commit adultery. What is adultery? Sex outside of marriage. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Listen. If I love God, I'm not going to commit adultery. If I'm committing adultery, I don't love the person I'm committing adultery with. If I'm stealing, I don't agape the person that I am stealing from. See, this is what the love of God looks like. If I commit adultery, I not only sin against my wife, number one, I sin against God. I sin against my body, which is His. I sin against all of that. Oh, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, it's in your Bible. I told you this stuff would kick your tail. Because it's tough. I mean, it's tough stuff. You say, well, it just sounds like so much trouble to walk in the love of God. No, it is liberating. It's liberating. When you get this down and it begins to work in your life, it sets you free of so many things in your life. And one of the reasons that people are in bondage is because of this love issue. Okay. Romans 14:14. I got to go fast. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken evil of. What does that mean? If I go and I have a meal with someone, let's say that they don't eat pork, and they are offended by eating pork. When I'm with them, I don't need to eat pork. Now, can I eat pork if I want to? Does the Bible, I mean, am I free to eat pork? I can eat buzzard if I want to. I just don't want to. But I can eat anything that I choose to eat. But if I'm with Eric and he doesn't think that a believer should eat pork, do I need to hurt him who Christ died by offending him by what I eat or what I drink? See, this is the love of God. This is loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I can do, I mean, I've got liberty. Yeah, you got liberty. But are you going to use your liberty to destroy the faith of another person? Are you going to destroy your testimony because of your faith and your liberty? No, that's not the love of God. Paul said, you know what? If meat offends my brother, I won't eat meat as long as I live. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? I like a good hamburger, don't you? Dude. Ephesians 5:25. This is, you ladies are like this. Husbands, agape your wives, just as Christ also agape the church and gave himself for it. There it is. This says, guys, we got to lay down our lives for our wives. Can I say something? Can I say something? I'm going to anyway. Most of the problems that we have in our families are man-driven. And a lot of it goes back to this issue right here, that men are not agape in their wives. They're not being the spiritual leader of their homes. They're not stepping up. They're slouching. Listen, if you love your wife, if you love your family, you're going to agape. You're going to give up. You're going to do what it takes to lead that family and be the leader that you need to be. Agape is not just easy. How many of you know, guys, how many of you know sometimes them wives are hard to love? Okay. They can be difficult sometimes. It didn't say love them when it's convenient. Tony didn't raise his hand, did he? He knew better. I saw the look he got. Dude, you're smart. I don't know about Lauren. Yeah. It's not easy to love one another. It's not easy in a marital relationship to agape. But that's the only way that it'll work, the way that it's supposed to. How can we say that we live in the love of God when our homes are being destroyed because of lack of it? We need agape in our homes. Gals, you looking for a husband? Look for one that loves God more than he loves you. Okay, move along. Fast. Philippians 2:2. Now, if you're married, don't be looking for a different guy. Okay? Dude. I mean, you got to cover all the bases. Because some people, oh yeah, you said that you need a man that loves God more than he loves me, and he don't, so I'm getting rid of him. No. That's not what I said. You need to pray for him. You need to set an example. Win him with your conversation. Win him with your manner of life. Okay, Philippians 2:2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same agape, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only out for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. That means I have to love your stuff as much as I love my stuff. That means I have to love your interest even above my own interest. We need to have that mindset. We need to learn how to think alike and think about each other. If someone hurts, we need to hurt with them. If someone rejoices, we need to rejoice with them. Don't be one up in them. Have you ever seen around somebody, you know what, I caught a 5-pound fish. That ain't nothing, I caught a 10-pound. You ever been around somebody like that? My dog's bigger than your dog. You know, I tell you a neat thing that happened. We were on the way back from the ARC conference, and we got stranded in the Atlanta airport. And I looked up, and Rick Bizet was there. Now, Rick Bizet is a pastor of the church in Conway, North Little Rock, Heber Springs. They run 6,500 on a weekend. Okay, it's one of the fastest growing churches in America. And I walked up to him. I'd been in a conference with him, and he'd shared some things. And I walked up to him and started talking to him. I said, you know, Rick, one of the things that you shared with me has really helped our church. In fact, we've started growing, and we've gone from such and such to such and such. Well, you know what he didn't say to me? I mean, on a good day, we'll run 400. On a bad day, he'll run 6,500. You know what? Could he bury me? Could he one-up me? He could two-up, three-up, four-up, 100-up me. But you know what he said? He said, Michelle, that's his wife, did you hear what he said? He said, their church is growing, da-da-da-da-da-da. He was happy for me. He didn't one-up me. He agape'd me. But how many times, especially guys, you show them something, oh, that ain't nothing. You killed a 6-point, I killed a 12-point. That's not agape. Really, that's ego. And this says that we need to love. We need to have interest in others more as much as we have interest in ourselves. I told you this would kick your tail, because we don't do this a whole lot. and we call ourselves being Christ followers, we need to really start following Christ. We got to work on this stuff, folks. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. To consider means to esteem. We need to think about one another. I need to think about Toro and thinking, okay, how can I encourage him? You know, if he's struggling, I need to look for a way to encourage him and lift him up and build him up so that he can go on to good works and the things that he needs. That's love. I don't need to say, you know, Toro ought to know better than act like that. What's wrong with him? No, that's not love. Don't we do that sometimes? Shame on us. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent agape for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Oh, here's a biggie. How many times do we hear something about somebody and we tell it? Did you hear what Glenn did? He said a wordy dird. He got mad at Don and he said a dirty word. Should we be saying dirty words? No. But you know, agape doesn't air everybody's dirty laundry. Agape covers the sin. It does everything it can to keep him from being exposed. Why? Because people are bad about judging. I might say a dirty word sometime. And I might need some grace. Say, Pastor, could you say a dirty word? I can real easy. All I got to do is get in the flesh just like you do. I can get in the flesh fast as you can. I thought you was more righteous than me. Nope. I'm just as righteous as you. But I'm not more righteous. You don't get more righteous and less righteous. Righteousness is a gift. That's right standing with God. When you get saved, you're just as righteous as anybody else. You're righteous as Billy Graham. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not agape his brother abides in death. If we hate our brothers, there's a problem this way. It says we abide in death. That's pretty strong language. Verse 17 of 1 John 3. But whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? This is why I want us to be a giving church. This is why I want part of our DNA to be Servolution. Because I want us to give to people who have need. I want us to be able to do that. People who are struggling, I want us to be able to give to them. And we're gonna find ways to do that more and more and more. More projects, more things that we can get out there and help the down and outers and the up and outers and people who are going through difficult times in their life. That's the love of God. Okay, we're going to end it with this. This is out of the Message Bible, out of 1 Corinthians 13. Your Bible won't read this way, so just listen. And this talks about the attributes of agape. And it says love, but we could put our name in there. Let me read it from the standpoint of I. See, if we walk in the love of God, that becomes I. And here's what it says. I never give up. I care more for others than for self. I don't want what isn't what I don't have. I don't strut. I don't have a swelled head. I don't force myself on others. I'm not always me first. I don't fly off the handle. I want to fly off the handle today. Ooh. I don't keep score of the sins of others. You did this and this and this and this. Women love to do that, don't they? Especially to their husbands. Oh, moving right along. You remember when you did this and this and this and this? We call it saving up their stamps. They don't revel when others grovel. I take pleasure in the flowering of truth. I put up with anything. I trust God always. I always look for the best. I never look back. And I keep going to the end. Now that's the attributes of walking in the love of God. How'd you do? How'd you do? Have we got work to do, folks? Have we got work to do? I'd say this probably kicked all of our tails. And what you need to do is you need to go home and you need to meditate on these scriptures. And you need to ask God to show you where you fall short in this. And you need to make the adjustments. Because can I say this? Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice, not a feeling. Well, let's pray. We need it. Father, thank You for Your love. And Lord, we don't realize how much You really love us. We are incredibly loved by You. And Lord, when we come to You, that You give us this incredible ability to love ourselves and to love other people. Lord, if we're ever to become the church, we have to capture this love. We have to walk it out and live in it. Lord, we need a greater revelation from You in our own lives, where we're at, so that we can grow into this love of God. Lord, we want to be Your church, but we have to be people of love in order to do that. Thank You for it today. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You know, you may be here today and you've never experienced the love of God like I'm talking about. You've never crossed the line from into belief, into faith. See, here's what has to happen. You have to realize that you're not in control of your life, that your life is not manageable. You can't do this on your own. And then you have to know that there's a God who just incredibly loves you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. If we do that, then we have to make the decision that we're going to turn our life over to Him. We're going to get off the throne of our life and we're going to let Him own the throne. We're going to let Him call the shots and make the difference. And when that happens, what He does, He comes in and He transforms our heart. He delivers us from the power of sin. And He brings us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And He changes us. You know, if you're here today and you've never crossed that line, but you'd like to today, we're not going to ask you, we're not going to embarrass you, we're not going to ask you to get up out of your seats and come up front. We're not going to ask you to stand up or do anything weird. But I want to pray a prayer with the whole congregation. And if you've never crossed that line of faith, but you'd like to today, slip a hand up and say, Pastor, I'm ready to cross the line. I'm ready to make that decision today. We're all going to pray a prayer together. Anybody? Okay. One, okay. All right, there's two. Anybody else? Three. Come on, it's time for us to let God do what He wants to in our lives. And we don't make you do this because we can't. We don't coerce you to do this. This needs to be something that you do on your own. There's three people who raised their hand. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? Okay? All right? Here's what I want us to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want everybody to pray this together out loud. Now, and for those of you that are praying this for the first time, I want you to mean this with all your heart. God is going to do something significant in your life today if you believe it. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You that You have a plan for my life. I can't manage my own life. I need You. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Make me new. I give control of my life to You. And I thank You for coming in today In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now here's the deal. If you prayed that for the first time, we got some guys back here at the back. They got Bibles in the foyer. These are easy to read Bibles in modern English. There's also some instructions for newfound faith that will help you grow as a believer. If you'll meet them out there, they will give you one of those Bibles and share some things with you. We're also, next Sunday morning at 9:30, we're starting a new believers class to help train you for 4 weeks in the fundamentals of the Christian faith. If you're interested in that class, there's a sign up on this table back here in the foyer. We would invite you to go and do that. Let's give these a big hand for crossing over. It takes boldness to do.